For the weekend kickoff with Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez, Ballpark Frank, and Big T Terrence. Start your weekend off with all the news on the gridiron, in the cage, and the ring, and anywhere else that sports is happening. The weekend kickoff is brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition, number one for all your nutrition and supplement needs, with multiple locations around the valley to serve you better. Now, here are the guys to kick off your weekend on ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM.
Oh, yeah, time for another big weekend of sports. It's the weekend kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Ballpark Frank, Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez, and Heidi Fang joins us bright and early this morning as well. And Phil, I know it's a big day for Vegas Discount Nutrition as well.
It absolutely is. They are celebrating the opening of their newest superstore. It's at 7501 West Lake Mead Boulevard. Today from 12 to noon, they are doing a great brand, giant new opening. Absolutely giving stuff away. They're giving away 10 $100 gift certificates. They'll be raffling that off. They're also giving away 251-pound tubs of protein when you check in. Vegas Discount Nutrition's grand opening will also have 25 different vendors there giving out samples. It's going to be a big party today from 12 to 4, Vegas Discount Nutrition at 7501 West Lake Mead Boulevard.
And if for some reason you can't make it over there, you can still go to the other three locations and get all the stuff you need, supplements and all your nutrition needs.
Almost four in a few weeks.
Almost five in a few weeks. At the Fashion Show Mall. So, yeah, I mean, today, 7501 West Lake Mead Boulevard from 12 until 4.
Quick question. I just remembered as our opening started. How was your concert last week?
It was amazing, actually. You know, yeah, in that opening, Frank was nice enough to put together for us. We got a little Clutch playing, and Clutch played last weekend over at the Brooklyn Bowl last Saturday night. Hell, if things, if I'm not too tired after the grand opening today over Vegas Discount Nutrition's new store, which I got to go to. There's no way I'm going to avoid that. I want some free stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
and I want a chance at those raffles, but I may tonight over at Brooklyn Bowl. There's another band playing, Ghost. I may go see them too. That's something for a different audience, though. Yeah. Ghost ain't like Clutch. Clutch rocks. Ghost scares people.
How dare you say that you might be tired today?
I'm old, man.
Look to your left.
I know. Yes.
I ain't no old. What are you talking about? Well,
I'm not talking about you being old.
Heidi joining us today. Actually, Heidi has been on the road for the last 2 weeks. And that's why we wanted to get her in here, because she's obviously been up to
important places.
Carson City. She's been down to Houston for the NFL owner meeting. She knows everything that's going on with the possibility of the Oakland Raiders becoming the Las Vegas Raiders. But then she gets back into town, and what do? They got her right away on assignment covering high school football last night. So what time did you get in last night, Heidi?
I got home at about, I don't know, 1 a.m.
1 a.m.
Oh. Yeah.
And it's now 7 a.m. and she's up and ready to go.
Didn't you go see Clutch last week? Oh, you went too?
Yeah. Rocked out, man.
Look at another thing you should be ashamed of. She went and rocked out. Didn't you get home? Did you go right off the plane or what?
Pretty much.
Right? Yeah, didn't you fly in that day?
Disco napped it out, went out to the concert. That's how I roll.
Went to the sports book the next morning.
Oh, yeah, I did. I won that parlay, too. I bet on your Rams, by the way. They helped me win my parlay.
Yeah, the Rams. We'll talk about we have a lot to talk about today. We got a lot of football. Obviously, week 7 started on Thursday night. Baseball playoffs tonight. First off, wait.
Baseball.
The Indians. The Cleveland Indians.
Who?
Are going to the World Series. And tonight, we may find out tonight who they'll be playing in Game 1 on Tuesday.
But guess who's not going to the World Series? Who hasn't moved on? Yeah, go ahead. Tell me. Go ahead.
I'm assuming you're making a comment towards Heidi.
But see, Armando, all I can say to that is I'm a loyal fan. I'm still wearing my Giants hat, okay? And you're wearing a Rams jersey.
It's an even year. They didn't win. Get over it.
Okay. We blew ninth.
It's an even year. You blew it.
Do you even have a baseball team?
Okay with it.
Oh yeah. Oh, he has a baseball team. Of course, because they're still playing. The Dodgers.
Oh,
but if the
no.
Dodger if the Dodgers get eliminated tonight, you can bet your bottom dollar that this boy will be a Cubs fan come Monday morning.
That's not true.
It is true.
That is not
it,
true.
It is 100% true. But we'll get into that in a little bit. We also have to get into some UFC talk. I don't know if anybody out there, if you've been living under a rock, maybe you haven't heard the news about George St. Pierre. George St. Pierre and the UFC are butting heads right now, and it's getting a little ugly. Last night, Bellator 162.
Wow.
There's a lot going on. I'm pretty excited right now, but I do want to talk about the Cleveland Indians really quickly because they beat the Toronto Blue Jays on Wednesday 3-0 to advance to the first World Series for the Indians since 97.
You know, it's funny because before the playoffs started, I was doing a different show on one of our other stations, and I was saying Cleveland was kind of like the unknown factor. They had a great season, but they're like the Rodney Dangerfield of baseball.
No respect.
They get no respect whatsoever. They destroy everybody in the Central, but people go, well, they ran away with it, so who cares about them? All we heard about was the Yankees and Red Sox like we always do, then some of the other teams from the West. You didn't hear anything about the Cleveland, the Indians, and then, of course, the Cubs, and then the other teams in the National League. Meanwhile, they're just going along. The Cubs pick up Aroldis Chapman. They get Miller, who some people actually think was a better pickup because he can close or set up. He can also throw more innings in there.
More diverse.
And they're just going along. They sweep Boston. Everybody's, oh, big Poppy's last year. Poppy wasn't around in the playoffs very long. Still get no respect. They crushed Toronto. Oh, they did lose a game to them.
Yeah, 4-1, almost a sweep.
And remember this, too. They have the home field advantage because of the stupid all-star crap that they pulled.
Yep. And listen, Tuesday night is going to be hopping in Cleveland. I don't know who they're going to face. Tonight we find out. You got the Dodgers and the Cubs. Game 5 is tonight. Well, you know,
game six.
Cubs are up 3-2.
But going against Kershaw.
But going against Kershaw. So, you know, there is a possibility we will see game 7. I know, Armando, you think we will. But Tuesday night.
I'm a little scared. You're a little scared.
Well, that's good. That's good.
The Cubs are going to close it out right away and put your Dodgers away, Armando.
Well, it's not like Hendrick is chopped liver. I mean, the kids had a great year pitching for the Cubs as well. I just want to know, does anybody sit in the Bartman seat tonight?
Oh, that's...
Maybe he does.
Get over that, Frank.
No. There's a seat, and they actually have the plaque. The Bartman seat is still there. You can get that seat.
Oh.
The seat is still in the stadium. There's a plaque in there. Did you guys see what Frank Kaminsky did this week?
No.
Playing for Charlotte when they played the Bulls? He had a Bartman Cubs jersey made because he's from Wisconsin, and he hates the Cubs.
Wow.
I know they did like a recap, right? Or like a wear
of
30 for
30. Yeah.
Now, what's he up to? Has he ever been able to live it down?
No.
He has moved back to the Chicagoland area, cut his hair. He's got a completely different look.
Walks around with a nose and sunglasses and a mustache.
But he basically lives his life incognito.
I think he had to change his name as well, if I remember correctly.
He did for a while or something like that. He might just be going like by B or something at the end instead of the whole last name or whatever. But I mean, he still works in the area and that kind of stuff, but he's very low-key. The reporter that was doing the thing on him basically waited like 4 hours in his parking garage, and he was like, you know, I was waiting for Bartman to get out some mace or something like that and spray in the guy's face. But no, I mean, he says he's still a Cubs fan, but he's really not very welcome over there.
Yeah.
And
well,
to think, like, their last World Series, 1945, and if they should go this year, I mean, would he get some sort of seat there? Would he be allowed to go?
I doubt. No, I think that's the – this man – there's a plaque outside and says, this man is not allowed in here.
He might – it might be like Bill Buckner with the Red Sox. If they win it all, they might welcome him back, but he's not going to be welcome. I think Murphy the Billy Goat would be welcome before Bartman would be.
Yeah.
Well,
Goat actually had a name. But
Murphy.
That.
That's why it's Murphy's Bleachers right outside Wrigley Field.
Okay,
Murphy the Billy Goat.
Well, like I was saying, Tuesday night game 1 is going to be pretty big night in Cleveland because not only does Cleveland get their first World Series since, like I said, 97, and I don't think they've won since what, 48? I think it's one of the longest droughts in the American League.
Second longest.
Second longest? Okay, so it's been a long time. But Cleveland, we talked about them last week, and you know, I know and Heidi kind of makes fun of me because every week I go down to the sports book and, man, I lay my money on the Browns. Every week I bet on the Browns. But do you know what? They cover every week.
He's like, plus so, 6.5.
Six and
I'm
a half.
I
like it. The Browns are going to win one day. They're going to win. There's a winning mentality going on in Cleveland. And
well, let
Cleveland,
me look ahead on their schedule and see when they have the Bears coming up.
Well, they do have Cincinnati this weekend, but it is in Cincinnati. So that's going to be a little tougher for them. But Cleveland gets their NBA championship rings at the Cavs game on Tuesday night, the same night. So Cleveland is going to be hopping for sure.
Did you see the thing on Facebook that they posted about that?
No.
As far as Cleveland, season, a ticket for the Cleveland Cavalier opening night game, like, priceless. A ticket for the Indians game, $1,000. A ticket for the Browns game, 7 Taco Bell wrappers.
Oh, man.
You could go, Armando.
And I actually...
I would go.
My comment to my friend that posted it on Facebook, I said, 7 seems a little steep, doesn't it?
Well, what's the price? Are you getting them on a value meal or not?
I have no idea.
Hey, before I start talking about GSP, because I do want to get into that, especially we are lucky enough, Heidi works for the Journal. She is the MMA. She's technically the MMA video journalist for the Review Journal, but now they have you doing football. So we get to talk to Heidi about MMA and football today. But last night, you were covering the high school football game. You didn't get to see, I'm sure, Bellator 162.
I did not.
Actually, you know what? I enjoyed the fights. I thought that... aside from Bobby Lashley, which I'll never understand it. I won't. I'll never understand the Bobby Lashley phenomenon. That there's actually people out there that want to see this guy fight. It's just he doesn't do it for me. I know we've made these transitions before. Pro wrestlers coming into MMA, it's worked for some, but I mean they keep feeding Bobby Lashley like tomato cans. And I mean, I don't want to see him fight tomato cans. It's just, I mean, if this guy's any good, and they've been talking about Bellator actually bringing back their heavyweight title, something that's been, I think, vacant since Cole Conrad. I think it's been vacant since Cole Conrad. Cole Conrad was their former heavyweight champion.
It was a tournament and everything.
Who was quite possibly, like, he was the next coming. There were people talking about Cole Conrad like he was going to be the next Brock Lesnar. He trained with Lesnar. He had a great collegiate background with college wrestling. And Bellator didn't have him fight enough that he just retired. He retired and got a full-time job. I think he was working in like a milk distillery in Wisconsin. that's the job he took.
Why didn't he join another organization?
Because he...
He's under contract, I'm
no, assuming. No, it's not that. In all honesty, Cole Conrad was a great fighter. But if you're... I just said he was a wrestler. So that's what he did. He would smother people. And it was just... It was never... No one ever had a chance. It wasn't like he was finishing people left and right. And it wasn't like he was the most exciting fighter to watch. But he just smothered you. And you had no chance whatsoever.
Speaking of Bobby Lashley's finish, was that really a rear naked choke that he won by?
I don't know. Come smothered on. Him. He just smothered
yeah,
him.
He did, that but, was not a rear naked choke.
But I was happy to see Alexander Shlemenko come back. I know he's been on the sidelines for a little bit due to a drug infraction. But he is fun to watch, man. Shlemenko is fun to watch. You can't deny that.
He should be on Dancing with the Stars. All he does is spin around all over. Here's a spinning kick. Here's a spinning fist. Here's a spin, spin, spin.
You know who doesn't like watching Shlemenko fight? Nick Diaz.
Yeah.
Yo, we doing some spinning stuff now? Do you remember that when he fought Carlos Condit? That's all he was doing when he was talking to him in the cage when they're fighting. Oh, you want to do some spinning stuff now, huh? That's what we're doing.
I don't think he said it that politely, but okay.
Of course not. But
also, I was a little disappointed on that fight because we actually, Frank and I, we actually know Kendall.
Kendall's a good guy. I like
Kendall's
Kendall.
A real good guy.
And he's an entertaining fighter, and I mean, he always comes to bring it.
Yeah, well, and he brought it because he nailed him a couple of times. I mean, he had him for a second.
Well, he nailed him. I don't know how bad he really hurt him.
He
was definitely dazed, but I don't know if he was ever in real any deep water trouble.
Yeah. Well,
I think if he would have pressed it, maybe it would have been a little more exciting. I don't know if he would have finished him, but it would have been a little more exciting.
Yeah, and we had seen that too. We also saw that in the first fight of the night.
And then he ran out of gas. I mean, when you walk away from your opponent just for no reason, I mean,
like I said, we saw that in the first fight of the night. You had Hisaki Kato against AJ Matthews. AJ Matthews had got stunned.
Yeah, but those guys were throwing down.
That was a fun fight. See, that's when you love watching the Bellator, when these fighters come and they just throw caution to the wind and they just come out. And I'm actually, I mean, I'm excited for the next couple of weeks with Bellator. Bellator has what they're calling, and reminds me a little bit of old school ECW days, the November to Remember. They've got three titles on the line in 3 weeks. You've got November 4th.
Don't disrespect the boxing match in the middle of it. Come on.
Liam McGreary, Phil Davis for the light heavyweight title on November 4th. Andre Karshkov, who the last time we saw him was beating the pants off of Benson Henderson. He's defending his welterweight title in Israel against Douglas Lima. That's actually that's
the rematch.
He took the title from. And then on November 19th, you got Michael Chandler defending his lightweight title against Benson Henderson. Okay. So, I mean, they've got some good cards coming up, and then they've got their, what Heidi and I have always referred to as the Bellator Circus Show going down, and that is, Frank, we talked about that before we came on the air. January 21st in L.A., we have got Chael Sonnen and Tito Ortiz. And
in the perfect venue for them.
Falling apart.
Two over-the-hill has-been fighters in an over-the-hill has-been arena to do it in.
That is not the an over-the-hill. So, they
not
they
so
remodeled
fabulous
it.
Forum anymore.
They remodeled it.
But in all honesty, like, you know, Chael, we know what Chael brings. Chael's got that wrestling style, but we know Chael is going to promote a fight. He's going to sell the fight. He's going to talk up a game. And he came out swinging right away with Tito, talking about how broke Tito is, and Tito needs this fight because he just had his Rolls Royce repossessed last week.
It's not true.
Which, I don't know. It could be.
You didn't see his response on Twitter?
No, I don't follow fighters on Twitter.
Okay. No.
I don't follow
his
fighters on Twitter.
About an hour later, was him walking through his walking. He's in his backyard where there's he's got a boat. He's got his boat right there. He's on the dock and he's walking. Oh, really? I'm broke, right, Chael? I'm walking right through the middle of his house. He's walking right through the middle of his house and he's like.
But did he go to the Rolls?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all
I want
to know.
So then he's walking through there. Then he shows off his Magic Johnson autographed jersey plaque, which I thought was a great, nice touch. Then he goes out. Shows his cars. And the last one, of course, he goes, oh, by the way, there's my Phantom that got repossessed yesterday, right in his parking lot.
He paid the bill. He paid the bill. Came back.
He car
signed
note.
The fight.
They gave him an advance on the fight, so he got the car back.
Or they got it before he took it.
And I know that these two guys are, I don't want, I Tito, I guess you can say, I guess if he had retired on time, would be considered a legend. I mean, unfortunately, you know, when you just don't know how to walk away from the game, it taints the career.
One more neck injury, he won't be able to walk away from the game. He's had so much on his neck done. Surgery,
how many surgeries?
Fusing, God, at least three that I can think of.
Yeah, well, he...
Okay, but let's be honest. Tito hasn't been relevant for...
No, he hasn't.
7 years?
And that's the thing, Tito used to be the man. And now he's not relevant at all because, he may win a fight every 9 fights, but he should have hung it up a long time ago.
No, of course.
And Chael is another guy.
Fluke win over Ryan Bader, which gave him 2 more fights. Then he leaves, and he wins, which I'm not even going to try to pronounce that.
Flamenco?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was a guy who was weight class heavier than.
Yeah.
Chael Sonnen is.
Like Chael's technically a middleweight moving up.
Right.
So, we'll see how that goes, too. But
so, I mean.
I do want to move on really quickly because I'm looking at this time and we're always running long. We are very ADD
what else
here.
Is new?
We are very ADD here. But this past week, GSP came out. He was on the MMA Hour on Monday morning with Ariel Helwani, and he revealed to the world that he is a free agent now and that he's no longer under contract with the UFC. Fast forward one day, the UFC says, "Whoa, you hold the brakes there, son. You still are under contract with them." And it's true. He is. GSP still does have a contract, but GSP is a Under Armour athlete. That is a no-go for the UFC being under Reebok. GSP hasn't fought for the UFC since this Reebok, transfer. So they were trying to work something out. Apparently, they were very close. GSP, in the beginning of this year, I mean, we're in October, and apparently in January, he reached out to the UFC and said, I'm ready. I'm ready to come back. I want to fight. Obviously, with the UFC sale, things have kind of gotten in the way. But he was pretty confident with if Lorenzo Fertitta was still there, they would have been able to get this deal done. Well, under the new management, they weren't. And apparently, this is from GSP's lawyer. The UFC sent a bout agreement to George St. Pierre to fight Robbie Lawler.
And then Lawler didn't want to fight.
But it didn't have a date. It didn't have an event. It didn't have how many rounds they were. And GSP is like, listen, I want to fight now. For all I know, Lawler pulled out of his last fight due to an injury. Can he even fight? When will he be available to fight? I'm not signing a contract to fight for somebody or to fight somebody when I don't know when I'm going to be fighting. I want to fight now. So I don't know what's going on because GSP has been here in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And there were pictures the other day of him not hanging out with guys like Dana White.
Hanging out with Ali from World Series of Fighting.
All right.
Abdelaziz. Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on right now.
Well, I know one of the things that GSP and his camp were saying was that they gave him a date. They couldn't make that date. So since that was their drop dead date, they consider themselves a free agent because of that.
Yeah, I like that.
Don't know how much legalese is involved in that.
Doesn't that sound like Rampage Jackson a couple years ago?
We've seen it before.
Or even Rampage is gone.
And what I loved, and, you know, it's funny. The more I look at the UFC and what goes on behind the scenes, the more of a fan the less of a fan I become. I mean, I don't want to say shady, but man, there is some shady stuff going on. Those contracts are horrible. Absolutely horrible. And the way that they run things, I mean, I'm looking for a change with this new management. I'm really hoping for a change.
For the better?
Of course. It can only get better. It can't get worse with these contracts.
Have you read all the headlines this
past
week?
That is always a dangerous statement to make, my friend.
True, you're right.
They're chopping all these executives.
Yeah, all these layoffs.
And but you know what? Some of those people, I don't care if they're gone. They mean nothing to me. and they mean nothing to me. Okay. What I want to see
you've met some of these people.
I want to see fighters get paid what they're worth. I don't want to see fighters get screwed over. I don't want to see a guy that puts his life, let's be honest, you put your life on the line when you step through those cage doors. I want to see them compensated properly. I don't want to see some guy find out that some guy who's fighting in the UFC has 5 UFC fights, full-time fighter. Oh, no, he's not. He's also got a full-time job because he can't afford to live off of what the UFC pays him. I'm hoping that changes because these contracts, as GSP's lawyer said, look like they were drawn up in 1940. They are so outdated and ridiculously favorable towards the UFC.
Well, I hope you're right about that, but my gut feeling is you're not.
You're not.
It's never going to get better?
Well, it might get a little bit better here and there, but I don't think it's ever going to be the utopian world that you want it to be. It's just big business. And when they buy it for $4.2 billion, and then they give like 300 different people a piece of it, oh, everybody who's ever in an actor or this or that, or you played a bit part or something, you're all owners of it now. Way too many hands in that dish.
I'll always remember Heath Herring, and I'll close it with that. Dana White has 3 Ferraris. I just want one.
And none of his are being repossessed.
Yeah. Pay that card note, Tito.
All right, it is the weekend kickoff. ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition's 3 locations. A 4th one opening today. We'll be back with a little football talk.
Vegas Discount Nutrition are the premier nutrition stores in Las Vegas. All of our superstores carry vitamins, supplements, proteins, and weight loss health food for all your supplement needs at below online and wholesale pricing. Vegas Discount Nutrition is the only wholesale outlet in the state, providing a massive $1 million inventory for you to choose from, all at 30 to 60% off retail prices. Our 3 superstores are the highest rated and most reviewed nutrition stores in the USA, according to Yelp and Facebook. The entire Vegas Discount Nutrition staff are certified nutritionist, knowledgeable, and friendly. They will help you with all your health, fitness, and supplement needs. If you're looking to lose weight, gain muscle, or just maintain a healthy body, come and see why all the professional athletes and entertainers shop here. Our number one goal is your 100% complete satisfaction. Stop in today to get your free samples and see why we are rated the number one nutrition stores in the USA. Visit any one of Vegas Discount Nutrition's 3 convenient superstore locations, Eastern and Silverado Ranch, 215 in Flamingo, or 215 in North Decatur.
Oh.
Well, welcome back. Weekend kickoff. ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM. Ballpark Frank, Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez. And something to make the studio look nice, Heidi Fang in here as well today, joining us this morning.
And great, great choice of music right there, Frank. Love me a little. Stranglehold. Also, remember, today, Vegas Discount Nutrition celebrating the opening of their newest superstore at 7501 West Lake Mead Boulevard from 12 noon until 4 p.m. They'll be raffling off 10 $100 gift certificates, 10 5-pound protein tubs, 10 pre-workouts, 10 post-workouts, 10 cases of drinks. They're giving away a lot. They're also giving away 251-pound tubs of protein if you check in on social media when you get there. Vegas Discount Nutrition Superstore grand opening today will also have over 25 different vendors. It's going to be a good time. 12 noon till 4 p.m., 7501 West Lake Mead Boulevard.
It sounds like you guys are hosting your own Mr. Olympia.
It's pretty much going to be. That's what it's going to look like, I think. It's going to be pretty impressive.
They're giving away 10 of everything, so you can become a perfect 10 if you use all this stuff properly.
Wow. Right? Hey, I think Armando's been working on it. He's trying.
I saw him work out right now. He was like drumming to Stranglehold and stuff.
How do you not drum to Stranglehold, though?
Every time I hear that song, ever since Randy came out to it one of the cards out here, I just picture Randy coming out to that song.
He came out to it against Mark Coleman.
Yep.
And here was the genius of it. Randy Couture, not a man known for his submission skills, knew exactly what was going to happen. He played, and he never came out to Stranglehold before that.
Nope.
And that was the only time he came out to Stranglehold. And he won by chokehold. What do you know?
Now, if only his son could find a song that would get him a win.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Oh. Ryan
had a 4-fight win streak before the last.
I only go by what I saw last night. Sorry.
Yeah, he did lose last night. He lost by submission, but he got caught. He got caught. You know.
No, he's actually a good fighter.
He's a very good fighter, Ryan Couture, and he's not the. You got to feel for him. You got to feel for a guy who tries to get into the sport and with the shadow that he's always been cast in. And he's nothing like his father.
Well, no,
it's
like when Pete Rose's kids tried to play baseball. You're not Pete Rose. You're not going to make it.
You'll never be in the Hall of Fame.
You can be a degenerate in the sports book like your dad, but you cannot do it on the football on the baseball field.
He is on that new MLB panel, though. I saw that. Wasn't that MLB Network?
Isn't that
show.
Ruthless what they were doing though other night with him? I felt really bad.
Isn't the producer?
Pete's funny.
They're putting up these tweets that say stuff like he looks like a leprechaun with that bow tie, Pete Rose, and
I love A-Rod. I love Thomas, but what the heck is Pete Rose doing here? He's horrible. Get him off air.
And he's reading he's funny, these tweets, but he's right? Not.
He's like on air, and they're coming across, and you just see that sad look on his face. That's just, kind of like the sad look that.
It's like, why didn't they pick like a few tweets that had the flip side of that?
Man, Pete looks dapper in that bow tie, doesn't he today?
Yeah. Isn't it great to see Pete Rose on the?
It's nice to see Pete Rose on TV and not in the Vegas Forum signing autographs. You know, it's nice to see this. But
man's got to make a living.
He does. He certainly does. But we were talking earlier about how Heidi has been basically jet-setting all over the place for the NFL owner meetings, the meetings up in Reno and Carson City, talking about the Las Vegas Raiders and, well, if that is going to come to be, the Las Vegas Raiders. Heidi, last week you were in Houston, or this past week you were in Houston at the NFL.
Yeah, it all starts blending together for me, too.
So, what have we learned in the last couple of days about the Raiders and the possibilities of them coming to Vegas?
My intuition tells me that they're coming, that there isn't any way to stop it. But there are some ways that it can be stopped. And it starts with Roger Goodell, in my opinion, who believes that the Raiders should still stay in Oakland. It doesn't want to uproot them again. I mean, they were the Los Angeles Raiders and the Oakland Raiders. And, you know, it doesn't sound like he wants them to become the Las Vegas Raiders. However, Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, went out there and put together a presentation that he gave to all of the owners of all the NFL teams on the last day of those meetings. And we talked to a few of the owners afterwards, including Bob McNair from the Texans. We talked to Woody Johnson from the Jets. We talked to John Mara from the Giants, and also Jerry Jones from the Cowboys. And it seems by what I'm gathering with what all of them were saying, except for Woody was pretty on the just straight and narrow. He didn't give me any kind of yes, no, or, you know, he was just very diplomatic. But it seems like they're all going to eventually support this idea. But I can't speak and say that, yes, they are 100% behind it.
Even Morrow with the Giants? Because there was a lot of reports out that they were one of the votes that would go against it.
It could.
That the Bears, the Giants, and the Bengals were the three they knew were going against it.
Morrow.
How about the Steelers? I thought it was the other one.
The Steelers were on the fence one way or another, but those were the three solid ones that they've been saying. That Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk said that will be voting against it.
It seems to me that the idea with the Giants is they don't like the gambling idea, that you're in a state here where you're going to have a professional team that has gambling in the state.
See, here's the thing, though. The Mara family has always been known as to be a conservative type of family. But don't say that. I'm not worried about the gambling. I don't want to go there.
Yeah,
but I'm going to back my kicker who likes to beat women.
Well, not only that.
I'm going to back him.
If I remember right, I believe they are playing over in England.
Yes, they are.
Where there is live gaming all over the place. And, like, today's game isn't at Wembley Stadium, but when they play there, there's, like, 30 sports books within a one-mile radius of Wembley. So, yeah, we hate gambling, but we want to put a team over in England.
Yeah, no, this is just another case of, you know, hey, I'm going to back my kicker, but yeah, no, I don't like kicker. Yeah, I'm just aggravated
open
about it.
Open mouth, insert
like,
foot.
Yeah, he didn't either give like a yes, no. No, none of them gave like a yes, no answer. You know, they were just saying what they took away from the presentation. So, you know, it still has to go into this December meeting, which happens December 14th. That's the next time that the owners all get together. And when they do get together again, then, you know, maybe then we'll have more of an idea of what they took away from this presentation that Mark Davis gave. But he'll ultimately need 24 votes. So those owners, more than 65% of them are going to have to vote yes for this to actually happen, for the Raiders to actually be able to play and come to Las Vegas.
Now, if
they need 9 dissenting votes. And
But now, if that's not till December, I mean, are we going to start building the stadium before we get a...
I don't think they put a shovel in the ground until all this stuff
is
I mean,
the
governor signed it, but...
No,
but
if the Raiders
don't come, we will get a stadium, from my understanding. But it will not be necessarily an NFL stadium. Instead of 65,000 seats, there's something else as a contingency plan for a 45,000 seat stadium, which would be for other events and UNLV. So the Raiders, they can't do anything till all this is said and done.
Right.
And then, you know, and some of the owners, what do you guys think about this? Because I thought of this the other day when I was actually talking to Ed Graney from the RJ as well.
Yep.
I know you work with Ed.
Yep.
And, right now, they don't think there's any problem that there's not going to be 9 nay votes. But when Goodell severed his relationship with Robert Kraft, because Kraft and Jones are the two biggest ones that are saying Raiders to Vegas, Raiders to Vegas, Raiders to Vegas. If he doesn't, if Goodell's not hell bent on I got to get Brady because he made me look bad, and basically destroying his relationship with Robert Kraft, I wonder if Kraft would be so hell bent about saying no, the Raiders are going to Vegas. Because he lost a huge ally and a guy who has a lot of other owners in his back pocket when he severed those ties.
And not only that, with Kraft now having a little bit of say in the UFC, maybe we see Robert Kraft versus Roger Goodell in the cage. Maybe, huh? I'm just throwing it out there. But
doesn't smell like gin, okay?
Speaking of the possible Las Vegas Raiders... the stadium thing that went down, I know that it just they're not going to just start building the stadium, but that was a nightmare too. Is that something that they've determined where we're going to see a stadium yet or anything like
there
that?
There has not been an actual statement saying that we have a piece of land determined to be the area where the Raiders will play. However, I get the notion from what's been discussed and talked about, and including from what Mark Davis said on the last day, is that it may be the Russell Road location that is about 62 acres and set behind the Mandalay Bay, runs adjacent to the Strip. So I think that would be the location. It has not been determined that it's 100% the location, but that's what I'm gathering from the talks and discussions that have been said.
Yeah, and the other ones that I've heard that they're still looking at as possible alternatives would be the Bally High Golf Course and maybe even still Wild Wild West over there in Tropicana.
There's
some talk about
two.
That, but yeah. I just think it's funny that they've had protesters about that because they don't want streetwalkers and that coming into town if they build it there. Have you gone down Tropicana? that's all that's there right now.
Right. That area, on the, if you go past, you know, that In-N-Out Burger right there over the overpass of the 15, yeah, it's a pretty little seedy little part of town.
Extremely.
There.
Building anything there could only improve the area.
I don't know, bringing in the Oakland Raiders. I don't know.
Well, that wouldn't be the Oakland Raiders anymore.
I don't know if Armando would have to switch jerseys all over again.
Right? Seriously,
I am not going to buy a Raiders jersey. But
sorry, I'm laughing.
My children, this is their hometown. They will be well
represented. I bet you were a 49er fan. You're wearing a Rams jersey. Enough said.
Yeah. Wow. Well, actually, let's move on from this. Let's talk a little football. Actually, let's talk about the four. Let's talk about Armando, the 4-2, first place in the AFC West, Oakland Raiders.
They're an enigma. They're an enigma. I don't understand that. Now, I don't get it. How they?
Hold on. They're going on the road right now, yeah. And you know it from the past. The Raiders have always played horrible on the road. Always. They are 3-0 on the road this
Better on
year.
The road than at home.
They are. And, you know, last week they did have a rough game against Kansas City. They lost 26-10. You know, this week going to Jacksonville, Jack Del Rio's former team. You know, you'd think they'd want to be a little pumped up, especially, like I said, Raiders being 3-0 on the road this year. Derek Carr, 12 touchdowns, only 3 interceptions. Third-ranked quarterback in the AFC with a passer rating of 99.1.
But how are you 4-2 and you have the lowest, not the lowest rated defense, but I mean,
yeah, their defense is pretty bad. But you know whose defense is not bad? The Jaguars. Their defense is better than their record shows. They're 2-3, but they've won 2 in a row. They've actually come back in both games. They looked really good in both.
Well, they beat the Bears last time. Does that really count?
They won a game.
Not so sure.
But they are ranked in the top 10 defensively in both yards allowed per game and points, or passing yards a game. I'm thinking this is going to be a good game, and this actually does start a very tough schedule for the Raiders. So we will see what they are made of, because not only do they have Jacksonville tomorrow, then they got to stay in Florida because they got Tampa next week, and then they travel to Denver, or home for Denver. So they do have a rough couple of weeks ahead of them.
And if these two teams meet 5 years down the road, it might be the Las Vegas Raiders against the London Jags.
It may very well be. Wow. No, it may very well be, because we talked about it when the Jaguars played the Colts in London earlier this year, that's pretty much a home game for them.
They're more popular over there than they are in Jacksonville. And Khan, when he first bought the team, he was the first owner that said, we volunteer to do a game over there every year. And he has tons of business operations and companies in Europe and in that area.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of, I know we got to take a break again soon, but there is another London game tomorrow, morning game. Mm-hmm. You've got
the Rams.
The Rams,
and
Armando.
The
Los Angeles Rams.
Can we call them the girly Rams?
The girly Rams. I don't know what to make of the Rams. I really don't. I do not know what. I don't know what to make of either one of these teams. Both are 3-3.
Well, one's engaged to Annette, so that's enough. What else?
I liked the first week with Odell. I liked when Odell, you know, he made a complete ass of himself. On national TV. But he made a complete ass of himself on national TV. He smacks that net. The net comes back, bops him right in the face. He looks like a complete fool. You know, the first week, yeah, I thought it was all right, him going over and, you know, giving it a hug. End it there. The joke's over. Now the proposing. This is worse.
It's never going to end.
Yeah, this is the worst. It's got to stop. But Odell, is he back? I mean, last week, he's had over 200 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. Are him and Eli finally on the same page?
Well, on the football field, they seem like they're at least closer to the same page. But Eli also came out and said he's got to quit doing those stupid penalties, taking off your helmet, costing the team. They won last week, so he got away with all that stuff. That blows up in their face, and he gets stupid penalties and makes a short field for the other team, and they come down and they score, and they end up losing that. All of a sudden, they're not so happy with him. Odell, a lot of wide receivers, I don't know what it is about them, but a lot of them are just absolutely off their rocker with the celebration and everything. And when you saw Vernon Davis score a touchdown and get a 15-yard penalty just for shooting the ball over the crossbar, you can't do anything anymore. And I don't see Odell Beckham not doing something.
Oh, it's getting absolutely ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's the no fun league. It's just the stupid league.
It is
now.
Getting seriously ridiculous. I who was it the other night? Wasn't it John Gruden who was saying during the Monday night game, I can't even enjoy watching this game because it's just flag
everywhere.
After flag after flag.
What yeah. For the last couple of years, every time I watch a football game, I said, I didn't know it was flag day. It's flag day. There was 30 flags in Monday night's game.
That's ridiculous.
The last two Mondays I've done remotes, I swear to God, I kid you not. There have been more people watching the baseball games than the football games.
Ow.
I make them put them on as well.
Yeah, and we talked about it. Ratings are down, but what is it? Is it because of the flags? Is it because of the people, you know, these ridiculous contracts and people are fed up with it? Or is it the what football players do outside of football that people have been, you know, I don't want to support these guys. Like we're talking about earlier, Brown. I mean, this is a thing, like, I don't know how Mara is sitting there and saying, I stand behind my guy. I mean, he has been put already on the commissioner's ineligible list. That means, dude, you're screwed, buddy. And I think Mara needs to do one thing and one thing only, and that's cut that boy. They already picked up Gould. Leave it at that. Drop him.
Maybe you have to read between the lines. Maybe he means I stand behind my guy because that way he can't hit me right between the eyes unless he does a spinning back fist or something.
Horrible, horrible human you are, Brown. Horrible human.
All right, it is the weekend kickoff. ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM. When we come back, we'll wrap it up and get ready for another weekend. Of course, the show is brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition.
Vegas Discount Nutrition are the premier nutrition stores in Las Vegas. All of our superstores carry vitamins, supplements, proteins, and weight loss health food for all your supplement needs at below online and wholesale pricing. Vegas Discount Nutrition is the only wholesale outlet in the state, providing a massive $1 million inventory for you to choose from, all at 30 to 60% off retail prices. Our three superstores are the highest rated and most reviewed nutrition stores in the USA, according to Yelp and Facebook. The entire Vegas Discount Nutrition staff are certified nutritionists, knowledgeable and friendly. They will help you with all your health, fitness, and supplement needs. If you're looking to lose weight, gain muscle, or just maintain a healthy body, come and see why all the professional athletes and entertainers shop here. Our number one goal is your 100% complete satisfaction. Stop in today to get your free samples and see why we are rated the number one nutrition stores in the USA. Visit any one of Vegas Discount Nutrition's three convenient superstore locations, Eastern and Silverado Ranch, 215 in Flamingo, or 215 in North Decatur.
Welcome back. Final go around here. Weekend kickoff. ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Three locations, but as of this morning, a fourth one opening up. Phil.
Yeah, Vegas Discount Nutrition celebrating the opening of their newest superstore at 7501 West Lake Mead Boulevard from 12 noon until 4 p.m. today. They'll be raffling off 10 of $100 gift certificates, proteins, pre-workouts, post-workout recoveries, drink cases. They're also giving away 251-pound tubs of protein if you check in on social media. The Vegas Discount Nutrition Superstore grand opening today will also have 25 different vendors. They'll all be doing free sampling, free product giveaways today from noon to 4, 7501 West Lake Mead Boulevard. Going to be there. I'm excited.
And then next week, you get to turn around and do it all over again at another new location.
Yeah, the Fashion Show Mall will be opening up in a couple of weeks. Vegas Discount Nutrition taking over Vegas. Also, we got some football tomorrow, huh? Got some more football to talk about.
We do have football. Well, we have college football
today. We have college
football
today.
Let's go back a couple of days.
Now, are you going to...
We really don't have time, you know. We only got a couple minutes here.
I'm looking at Armando's eyes right now, and everybody out there in Vegas, you're lucky you can't see him, because there's some devious looks in that eyes right now, and I don't know if he's ready to talk a little bit about Boise State surviving by the skin of their teeth the other night.
No, I haven't gotten over that yet.
So then you want to talk about how the Green Bay Packers...
Yes, let's go back to, because there was a party that somebody missed in this room that night. That's another story.
I did miss it. I wanted to go to that party. I certainly did. But I'll be honest, based on the game, I'm glad I didn't, because that first half was probably the worst half of football I have seen.
It was ugly.
It was so – you know what I was going to do? You know, Terrence, executive producer of our show, he's a big diehard Packers fan. And I'm sitting there getting ready to text him in the middle of the game. Like, I love what the Packers are doing this year. Last week, throwback jerseys. This week, throwback rules. They've excluded the forward pass. What is up with Aaron Rodgers? I mean, yeah, he came alive in the second half, but what is wrong with Aaron Rodgers this year?
Well, let's be honest. He came alive in the second half because the Bears' offense, once Hoyer broke his arm, they were absolutely not there on the field at all. They were doing three and outs. The Bears' defense has sucked all year. They have injuries all over the place. So congratulations. He finally found a little bit of his offense against the sister of the poor in their crippled, walking around on crutches with their canes and everything
out
there.
Come on,
and, and they're playing horrible, and they're so beat up, they're a mass unit out there.
You know something's wrong when Devontae Adams
lose your quarterback in the process.
Hey, that's what I just said. When Hoyer broke his arm, it was forget it. He was the only guy that was playing good for
him. And that's such
him.
A shame, man, because he was. Doing so well. And seriously, though, when Devontae Adams is taking home two Packer records after a game, you know something's
13-plus receptions,
unbelievable.
Two touchdowns.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, over 100 and, 30 yards or so.
Yeah, he definitely performed well. Do you know who's not performing well also this year? Luckily, he's got a bye week this week, but Cam Newton and the Panthers.
Yeah.
I mean, they are just absolute. I mean, I have not seen a team go from the Super Bowl to this bad so quickly.
They've gone from the Super Bowl to the toilet bowl in a big-time hurry.
And do you know who the last team that went from the Super Bowl to the toilet bowl so quickly was?
Who?
The Panthers. That last time they went to the Super Bowl. The next year, they were absolutely horrible. So now, last week, they did lose a nail-biter of a game, and we talked about it. That Saints game against Carolina, we talked about it last week. It was going to be a high-scoring affair. The Saints defense, absolutely horrible, horrible peewee football playing right there. And they have this week, they have to travel to Kansas City and take on the Chiefs, who, I mean, Alex Smith ain't no stud on the field as a quarterback.
Captain
concerned.
Checkdown. That's what my favorite expression is for him.
And the Chiefs, though, their defense. I mean, they're not the best. They're in the middle of the pack, but I mean, they shut the Raiders down last week in Oakland. So
Arrowhead's always a tough place to play too.
Yeah, it is it's a very tough place to set play. So I do not. I'm a Breeze fan, obviously, and a Saints fan, but I do not see the Saints putting up an impressive performance tomorrow. I don't see Breeze and Cooks hooking up. The Saints need to get their running game going too. I mean, they're ranked first in passing, in points, in yards a game, but they are like 28th.
Ingram have a touchdown yet this
season?
He has
one touchdown this year,
wow.
I think.
And
I think they're averaging like anywhere from 60 to 80 yards a game.
9 at home, I think the Chiefs has won. So it's going to be a tough road for the Saints.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough game for the Saints. You know who else has got a tough game tomorrow? The Eagles. The Eagles welcome the undefeated Minnesota Vikings, the only undefeated team still in the UFC. I was going to say,
wow,
in the NFL.
Well, the way their defense plays, it's kind of the closest thing to the UFC we have in the NFL now.
And you know, I got to say, it's an interesting setup because if you look, the Eagles start 3-0, they get hit with the bye week, then they are hot. And then 0-2 since Carson Wentz, when he started out this season, first three games, 5 touchdowns, 0
Carson
interceptions.
Carson Wentz finally had a rookie game.
Yeah, and then, and you know what? In the last three games, or in the last two games, he's only had 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, and the Redskins didn't even allow him into the end zone last week, didn't even have a touchdown.
Well, and they've got some film on him now, too, so now they've got to make adjustments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was also sacked 5 times, which, going against this week, a Minnesota Vikings defense, which is the baddest defense around.
Trust me, I saw Rex Grossman look like a Pro Bowl quarterback for 5 games. Then reality struck.
Wow.
You know, the Vikings are absolutely dominating everybody they face. They've had 5 games where they've won by 9. Out of the 5 games they've had, they've won 4 of them by 9 points or more. They've only allowed 17 points or less in the last 9 games.
And when Bridgewater went down and then Peterson got hurt, everybody wrote off their season. Bradford's getting more comfortable with that offense. Normally, I'd say that a team on a roll like that did not want the bye week, but because of the way that Bradford could get in and even get more work with them, they could be real, real dangerous. And I got to tell you, with my Bears completely sucking, and I don't want the Packers to win, kind of rooting for the Vikings to keep on doing well.
and I think they will. I mean, they really are a juggernaut.
They're formidable in the line there. They've got some big boys. They can make some big tackles, and it's been like a rough road for running backs as well. They force a lot of fumbles. They've taken some to the house. Yeah, it's Vikings are like a very, very scary defense to face, especially for running backs, I think.
And just ask Bronco fans what a good defense can do even when you have a crappy quarterback.
Right.
This is true. And speaking of good defenses, another good defense we have, and actually they have a hell of a rushing game too, the Bills. The yes. Bills, four in a
McCoy
row.
McCoy's out, though, this week.
Game time decision for McCoy. Yeah. Game time decision for McCoy, who has 470 rushing yards in the last four games. He's just been on, no, last three games. He's
not bad.
Fire. Yeah, absolutely.
But he's
fire.
No Ezekiel Elliott, is he?
Oh.
But they're off this week, so we'll see if that's another thing that's going to hurt the Cowboys going into a bye week when they're so hot.
Oh, no. They'll be fine. Because they have the running back from the Ohio State University.
Oh, stop.
And the rookie quarterback that has not come down to earth yet.
Yep.
How about that? He throws one interception. Like, oh, he threw an interception after 177 passes. Oh, no,
he actually
that's horrible.
Two, but one was taken away.
Somebody sent me a meme the other day that had the scene from Friday with the guy going up to Tiny Lister and said, "Ma, my mom's been tripping. She wants my bike back." But he's like, it's Tony Romo saying, "I want my job back. Coach asked for my job back."
Well, we hope you come back next Saturday. It is the Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM. Have a great weekend.